Unfortunately, we have some unprofessional people here, so welcome to the Dance Party 247 podcast for this week.
You ain't heard nothing yet, mate. Right. Welcome to the Dance Party 247 podcast. Today we've got DJ T, we've got Sam Saint, we've got myself, DJ Envy, and we've got special guest, brand new to Dance Party, Mr. Dan Morgan. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and click notification bell on YouTube. And if you're watching on Spotify, give us a little like and share the content. Over to you, DJT.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome wherever you may be in the world today. Dan, I was watching... What? I'm just covering all bases. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
I'm not 100% sure what's going on right now.
Good morning, good afternoon.
It's
a Jim Carrey, isn't it? And it's the one where he's captured in that little bubble. Yeah,
because it's Truman Show.
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon. I'll never miss you later on. Good night. Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Morgan hit us up having watched the last podcast because my other two colleagues don't particularly watch the podcast. They might participate, but don't seem to watch.
No, I do watch them. I just haven't had time. Don't start all this. I just haven't had time. Sam's been gigging out for the last 2 days. Yeah, I've had issues and I've been moving my studio around. I broke my deck. I've got issues. Yeah, loads of them. And I broke my cue button yesterday on my turntable. So I've been today researching, trying to find somewhere that can repair it.
So we got 99 problems, but you ain't one. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so Mr. Morgan hit me up and gave a topic or a conversation starter, however you want to call it, for a podcast. So hence he's been invited on to the podcast today. So I'll hand it over to Mr. Morgan to reiterate what he wishes to talk about and open for this to discussion, because I'm getting old, I can't remember as well. And he'll word it better than me. So can you remember what you said, Mr. Dan?
I'll have to get the WhatsApp message up. I'm
professional, innit?
I have it here.
I've got it now. I've got the app on my computer. So the idea for today's podcast, the question is, starting out as a DJ in 2022, what gear do you get? What challenges do you have? And what's the first thing to learn?
There's a lot.
Okay, so...
Go on, Mr. Saint. Because the thing is, this is where Envy and I could just go on for 2 hours alone. But go on, Mr. Saint, jump in first.
Time limit.
I can answer that question in about 10 seconds. Don't get Geminis. Get Pioneer, because Pioneer are better than Geminis, and on Geminis your Q button breaks.
Yeah, that is a common problem on the Q button. Have you got anything constructive to say, Sam?
I thought it was very constructive, mate. So,
go on, Miss Envy. I won't talk over you.
If,
but I might.
Okay, so if you're starting out, yeah, you probably would. If you're starting out. I'm going to drive to Rotherham in a minute and kick you in the testes.
Got him.
If you're starting out, generally what happens is people buy a DDJ 400, a 200, or an SB, something along them sort of lines, which I think, and T agrees, and I know you do, Sam, is not the way to start. Because we've had this conversation before.
I'll put a caveat. It depends on your age as well.
All right, okay, so let's just say... 18 to 25.
If you're an adult.
18 to 25, you're starting out DJing. And, you know, to buy, as we spoke to Dan about, we said, don't buy a little controller, you know, because what you're going to do in 6 months' time, maybe even quicker, depending on your learning rate, you're going to be like, I'm bored with that. That don't do enough. I've got to buy something else. And then we know some DJs who... have recently upgraded and they've gone for another controller again, haven't they?
Yeah. Another caveat in that as well is that the advice we gave to Dan, who is obviously now a new presenter with Dan's Party and is wishing to learn the art of mixing as well, is that he's already serious. He's already seriously into radio and he knows it's another step on his journey. If you got somebody who was young and also thinking that they may be the new David Guetta or Avicii or whatever, then yeah, you may find yourself a bit wanting. So there is the argument that do you invest in pro gear or do you invest in obviously semi-pro gear, depending obviously where your level of, are you going to give up in 6 months' time and is the equipment going to be put on Facebook Marketplace? That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, but then in my opinion, I think you have to ask yourself that if you're learning to DJ and you want to learn to DJ, do you want to eventually do radio and then do bars and clubs and, you know, if you're lucky enough to do festivals, or do you want to just do it as a hobby indoors? They're the questions you need to ask yourself first. I mean, when I first started doing it, I never even thought about radio. I never thought about DJing in clubs. It just never crossed my mind. I done it as a bit of fun. I spent a long time ago now, about 400 quid, which back then was quite a lot of dough. And I got a very basic two turntables, a two-channel mixer with a two-band equalizer.
Let's get Dan to speak for himself, because obviously we're speaking for Dan as well. But what, posing the question to yourself, Dan, what did you think? Because we have obviously had a conversations behind the scenes. We know what you're thinking of purchasing, but what were the questions you asked yourself and where did you end up?
I suppose for me, it's something I've always wanted to get into as a little hobby, keep me busy in an afternoon. But now it's sort of kicked off for me because I've started out in community radio. So I've already done about 10 or 12 shows on a local station to me. And I just want to get onto the next stage because I quite like doing it. So getting onto the next stage for me is probably learning to mix, making a career and see where it goes.
So with that in mind, what equipment did you look at? Did you discard?
Can I turn that question around a bit? Sorry, Dan. What equipment would you have looked at and discarded and put in the options box if you hadn't spoke to myself and DJT first? That's the better way of putting that question.
I probably would have gone and spent 150 quid on some DDJ's 200s.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the issue, because I'm not digging anyone out. If you don't know anything about something, you don't know what you're looking for, do you? Do you know what I mean? If you don't know nothing about mechanics, what do? You put your car into a garage. Well,
I would go along the lines of what the DJ Tutor. We haven't introduced the DJ Tutor to Dan yet. I'm sure we will at some point in terms of videos. Back at where he says, basically, go for the best equipment that you can afford. Obviously, if you're determined to obviously back yourself up, then you obviously everyone has a budget, because you can't just go in and buy £5,000 worth of kit if you haven't got £5,000 to play with or spare. But get the best equipment that you can for two reasons. There's one, if you are going to then upgrade because you've outgrown that piece of equipment, it'll hold more of its value, for starters.
Yeah.
And secondly is that you're not going to carry on again because it's hold a decent amount of value, you'll get a good chunk of your money back. I suppose back in the day when Envy used to do it, there's an extra question, there's another element, is that, okay, we get our music, you go to a DJ pool, you lost £20 a month and you'll gain hundreds and hundreds of tracks a month. So the ratio to music to the outlay of 20 quid is heavily weighted, obviously, in the favour of the DJ. However, when Envy used to go out, he has to go out, I've got my equipment, I've got my decks, I've got my turntable. I've got nothing to play.
Got your flight cases with your 20 kilograms of records in one arm.
Yeah, but the thing is, you've got no records to start off with. So you've got your decks.
You have to go and buy.
But what do you play?
So I actually done it the other way because I knew I was getting decks. I ordered them. Obviously, back then, next day delivery was not very well. It wasn't heard of. It'd be 2 or 3 days. So while I was waiting for delivery, I went out, and this is going to sound like not a lot of money for what I got. I spent about 100 quid, and I got about eight tunes for 100 quid.
Eight tunes? Eight?
Yep. So records back in the day were the cheapest you'd get them for when I first started. It was about a fiver, and you could pay up to 15, 20 quid for one track.
I mean, that's crazy when you think you can jump onto iTunes now and buy a song for 59 to 99p.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that £100, you know, you got you got 8 records back then, but now
or you get yourself on Beatport and it's £1.98 for an extended mix.
Yeah, or again you join, you know, a DJ pool, which obviously there's loads of them out there, and we've talked about these before, but they're great value for money. They won't cover all bases, but majority of what you would probably play if it's more underground. Or
that's the thing, though, isn't it, about, you know, DJing in 2022, as we say. It's not like you're limited to what you can do and what you can get for a decent amount of money. Now, obviously, Destiny's gone and bought her 3,000s and a 750 mixer. She spent $5,500. Let's say $5,000. Nice round figure. Yeah. For the two decks alone, I think are 4,400. Is that right?
Yeah, 2-2 each. Yeah.
That's about right, isn't it? So, you know, that's going to your top end of your market. You can get, if you're starting out, you're not going to go and spend $5,000, are you?
Well, unless you come from a very wealthy background, and that kind of money equivalents to just handfuls of hundreds of pounds. But yeah,
we're saying the average person who goes to work, you know, earns an average wage.
Well, I think that's a half decent motor, isn't it? Certainly here in the UK, you get a half decent car, or, you know, a good way to a deposit for a house and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not cheap change, yeah, is it?
Well, you think $20,000, no, actually. Well, probably $20,000 where T lives would be a deposit T, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the house price is obviously a little bit cheaper up north. But obviously, you know, if you're trying to save money, you wouldn't want to just take $5,000 out of your savings, would you?
No. But then on the other hand, for the same, reasonably close to the same equipment, you can buy the Denon SC6000 for $2,500 for the pair, compared to the two Pioneers, or you can go down the XDJ route for the same price as the Denon, roughly.
Yeah, okay, again, that's pro level equipment. So
it is.
When you get into pro level equipment, you're either talking, you know, you're talking thousands of pounds, not hundreds of pounds.
No, but what I'm saying is, for depending on your budget, you can still get, if you've got, say, you know, $2,000-$3,000 to spend, you can still get a decent setup.
Okay, I think this is correct for all controllers. What is the best selling controller in the UK?
Pioneer, I believe, in it.
Nope.
Is it a Denon?
Nope. I reckon that is it Newmark?
Yes, it is. But what is it?
They're quite cheap, aren't they? But I wouldn't know the model.
The Party Mix. Party Mix 3. Newmark Party Mix 3.
Can we bleep that out, please?
No. That is the best selling controller in the UK.
Yeah, because that's probably because they get it, parents buy it for their kids.
Yeah, obviously that's all sales. That's not okay. What we're trying to do here is span the scope of the spectrum of basically from pro. Now, it is easy for all of us to go and say, well, you know, I'm a DJ, I play out, that's the only equipment I'm interested in, everything else is null and void. But if you've started from scratch, and again, depending on your age, budget is probably the biggest factor for anyone, irrespective of age, because either your parents are going to buy it, or you have to buy it, or you won't have any birthday presents and Christmas presents for the next 10 years or something like that. You know, you sell your soul to the devil to get some pro equipment. That obviously, sort of, these are factors you have to build in, and sort of, like, you know, for a few hundred pounds, you could get something like, which is still on sale now, the Pioneer CDJ 850s, which still gets you into the record box system, still is on USB, but doesn't have obviously the display and everything like that.
But that would be second hand as well. That wouldn't be brand new.
Yeah, because they're about £1,800 each new.
Brand new.
So for
£1,800, say for instance, you didn't want to buy second hand, you wanted to buy brand new. Why would you buy the 850s when for another £400 each, you can buy the XDJs?
Again, budgetary issues for people.
No, but I'm just saying that would be the comparison, wouldn't it?
Okay, I will say this much. Yeah, initially, if you're going into your DJ journey, and I've said this to Dan on the last call we had with Dan, your investment into equipment is zero, nothing, 100% nothing. First of all, yeah, I would say beg, borrow, and obtain tunes from wherever you are in the world. So if you've already got tunes, we've all got access to tunes. It'll be stuff that I know we got as MP3 and stuff like that. Use those tunes to start off with. If you can't, obviously, you know somebody's a DJ, see if they can obviously, you know, lend you some tunes or something like that, and a thumb drive. And what you need to do is you use your computer. You use Virtual DJ or you use Rekordbox. It costs you absolutely nothing. You can get the fundamentals of DJing on a laptop before you even go to the point of saying, it takes you past the point of saying, is DJing for me or not? That's how I would put it. It bypasses that financial commitment that I need some equipment to get to play, to be a DJ. And then you go, yes, it's for me and I don't want to upgrade, or no, it's not for me. You don't have to make that initial purchase. You go to the second or third stage.
What I would say to that is it's not the same DJing on a computer as it is DJing on
No, it's not. But what I'm saying is that we're talking
about... And that feeling of being a DJ is totally different.
Yeah, it's chalk and cheese. It's like saying, okay, go into a virtual simulator and drive a Formula One car, or go and drive a Ferrari or a Red Bull. Probably not Red Bull, because I don't... Sam and I agree on that one. But yeah, a Mercedes, ideally, or a Ferrari, if not. But they're chalk and cheese. Then, you know, they do the same job. A button will press play, whether it's a physical button or a virtual button. You'll get to understand basically what, you know, obviously sort of faders do and the effects will do and things of that nature. You can learn the construction of music, how to mix, when to mix. You do not need a physical piece of equipment. I prefer physical pieces of equipment to do it on. It's so much easier. Like I was trying to go through with Dan, how you basically put your faders up and put bass in and out. And you can't do it like you would do in reality. Bass, you know, fader up and then swap them over, because you've got a mouse and you'd bit of this one, bit of that one, bit of this one, bit of that one.
See, after playing around on Rekordbox, I can't wait to get a proper set of decks. Can't wait.
But you're in a completely different position again than the average person. You're saying like, I just can't wait. I need the physical equipment because it's going to be so much easier, so much more fun. Yeah. The difference between learning on a laptop compared to the real equipment is vastly different. There's no dispute in that. And you know, it is not the same. But you can learn the fundamentals to take you a step further into your journey. I did exactly the same. I was 20 years ago, 20 odd years ago. No, 17 years ago. I did a DJ gig when I was 19, but we'll discard that. But I got back into it. About 6 months before I did my daughter's birthday party, which was my first gig, I guess, that I learned the fundamentals on virtual DJ. And I thought it was absolutely the bee's knees, because you sync it and it was like, you sound like...
I had a play around on my iPad because at least it's touch screen and you've got a bit more, it's a bit different to then using a mouse. Where with the mouse, you turn the dial to go right and you have to pull it over to the left. And if you want it to go to the left, you have to pull it over to the right.
Or drag it up and down.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point. If you can use your fingers, then you can be half with it. I mean, some devices, you've seen them, they're literally, the software is literally, you put it onto a pad and then you can get like sucker things and they stick on top and then you can actually turn the dials. You've seen those? No?
That sounds pretty cool though.
So yeah, you got obviously your iPad or whatever it is, and then you get obviously the thing that basically obviously works, and so it's pressurized. And then you just, you know, for your crossfader, you can put a little thing in that goes like that, and then your buttons and goes like that. Not every button on the damn thing, but you know, you can get some more tangible things on your pads. But it isn't physically the same because obviously sort of music was more tangible. Even though music is not tangible, obviously it's enjoyment of the senses of the ears and everything like that. But you can feel, you know, it's like I'm holding the music, and then obviously CDs, I'm holding the music. And now you just got like a thumb drive. Well, I'm still holding something. Yeah. And then you go like, I'm holding nothing because it's just downloaded. It's not even put onto a piece of hardware. It's there. I mean, obviously the same MP3 you're going to put onto your thumb drive, or you're just hooking up your laptop to a controller.
For you guys that haven't experienced the thrill, the excitement, the fun of going to a record shop and actually buying your music, the younger generation have missed out massively. It was like...
Only in my lifetime, the likes of HMV has closed down, because you used to be able to go to HMV, put a record on a record player and see if you like it and have a play around with the different speeds and stuff, but they've all closed down now, haven't they?
And there's HMB in Romford near me and Sam.
I think there's one in Romford, one in Harlow. Maybe the one in Harlow is still there.
Yeah, they're not there. And that was part of the fun. It's like, you're going, say you go out and you buy five new tracks, because that's going to set you back about 40, 50 quid, depending where you get them from, right? And, you know, you have a listen in the shop. It's like, yeah, I like that one. You know, and on the way home, the first thing you do when you get home is you play your new music. When you download your tracks nowadays, do you go, well, I'm going to go mix that? You don't do that.
I know for a fact I've downloaded music and I've not even played it.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
It's literally sitting on my laptop and I've never
played it. I don't know what it was back in the day. Because obviously, you know, they had to press stuff, and obviously people pressed their own stuff as well, didn't they? You got dub plates and all sorts of stuff, which we're not going to go down that route. But what was it Ed Sheeran said recently when in his court case? There's 60,000 tracks released on Spotify alone every day. That's 22 million tracks. So I don't know, obviously, what it was like back when Envy was a wee nipper, when the dinosaurs are out, and you had your man with his... with his wind up and the dog with his trumpet thing, you know, that kind of stuff, like, you know. But I guess there's more tunes released nowadays. The tunes are more throwaway, just the way that music is nowadays. There's something that has to stand out to be a classic, because the smallest percentage that will still be a tune that's relevant, that will actually mean anything, that people will dance to and relate to in 10 years' time, is so much more less than it was 10 years ago and probably 10 years before that. Musically, it's been proven as well. Is it Liverpool University? I've done musicality tests, and the height of the music industry in terms of intellectualness of music was like late 60s, early 70s. And since then, it's been going downhill. But think about it. I mean, all you got nowadays is just a chorus, or sometimes even nothing in pop music. You know what I mean? It's dumbed down, isn't it? I mean, it's not like, you know, prog rock of the 70s. I mean, you go on journeys, literally one track will take you on a journey. You don't need no trance or no wongi to do it. It will take you on a journey for 8 minutes on its own. You know what I mean? Look at Bohemian Rhapsody. It ain't a straightforward song, is it? You know what I mean? It goes up, down, left, right. Yeah.
A bit like, do you know JTV Project Sweetest Day of May? That's like a 7 minute track, and it's a dance track, but it's sort of, I suppose you could like relate it to Bohemian Rhapsody and its style of that it goes around in a bit of a circle, but the journey it takes you on, it's a good track, that.
Yeah, I mean people made albums, didn't they? An album had a theme to it, you know what I mean?
Now you have an EP.
Well, if you're lucky, I mean, you might release just track after track after track, and at best you get an EP with five or six tracks on it, you know what I mean? There's an artist, we won't name her, but Sam knows who I mean. I just say the person, yeah? She was second on The Voice, Do Your Homework, yeah, in the first series. She has released single after single after single, collab after collaboration, yeah, single after single. And she's
on the initial BK.
On the Voice.
I mean, BH.
That's the one, correct. Yeah, you know your stuff. Yeah. That now, but it's only just this last year, she brought an album out, and she'd been doing 10 years of putting singles and collaborations out to get to that point that they will invest in her. Yeah, well, my point is that the gear that majority of people would get, going back to the new mark, is that people will get a controller, because you're going to get, okay, it's not a separate, so I know Envy hates us, like controllers, or it's just like, you know, it's like Sam saying Denon. It makes a cringe, yeah? But controllers are the way to go, in terms of that compromise, in terms of investment, in terms of commitment, and approaching something of a standardization. I mean, it's all kind of standard anyway when you think about it. There's a pitch control, there's a start, there's a stop. You know, there's a platter of different sorts. I mean, anything beyond that is not gimmickry, but it's nice to have, not need to have, because you can do it with, you can play music without all that kind of stuff. But your investment is a controller. And I'll say that probably the majority of people would get a controller. So my quote stands, get the best piece of equipment that you can. I've never done that. I've always gone separate. Although I did have a home mix. Everybody, I've talked about it several times before. We did have one of those home mixers. Yeah.
That's when CDs had just come out, and they were the back then, they were the only affordable kit. that you could really buy, because everything else was Pioneer. It was just so much money.
Yeah, it was say I can't remember 120 quid or something. You got a little thing is you got speakers with it, pre-built in amp through the back. You could plug in photos, Nathan, to it as well, a little mixer and stuff.
Yeah, but what you couldn't do, you didn't have a jog wheel. You had
just pitch a bend. Pitch bend, yeah.
Not very good.
And the it was such a fine tuning of the pitch. It was 0.5%.
So bad.
It was like 1%, 2%, 3% is where obviously Dan will realize that on the software you can go down to 0.01%. On the hardware, it's I don't know about the 3000s. Are they 0.01? Or 0.02?
I've only played on the 3000s twice. So
he hasn't changed around with the pitch, but obviously the Nexus equipment is 0.02 is the finest pitch adjustment.
I would have thought you'd be looking at 0.02, maybe 0.01 on the 3000.
Yeah. Well, I know the record box itself, the software will go down to 0.01 anyway. So,
the 3000s now, they have, I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. The software that is integrated into record box is now integrated into the 3000s.
Yeah, well, the record box will do 0.01, then the 3000s will. Yeah, so somebody knows, correct us below.
I think that is right, because what they've done, the RGB colors coding they've got on the 3000s.
3D.
They've took that from record box and put that into, I think they've took the software from record box and put it into a desktop player.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously, sort of. Controllers are the way to go. So spend as much money, and this is a generic answer, but there are three. Newmark are probably the most purchased. But if you're talking,
doesn't make them the best though.
It doesn't make them the best. But again, you're looking at it from the point of view of where you are. So you're probably talking. Biggest way, we mentioned this on the podcast before, that the biggest. Maybe not the number. If you got basically sort of people are taking it seriously, then there's only one brand they still consider, irrespective of what level of control you get or equipment you get. It's Pioneer, isn't it? It still is the go-to, whichever way you look at it. And obviously, you might have different preferences if you're a performance DJ, Denon or whatever, but Pioneer, probably 80-90%, is heading that direction.
I was just looking the best DJ controller for beginners, and this is DJ Tech Reviews, their top five.
Go on then, Mr. Saint. In five. Come on, Dan, where's your jingle? Where's your jingles? In five.
First one. What do we
hang on. Do you want a bit of intro into that? Hang on. And now, Mr. Sam Saint.
Right, guys, fire away.
Fade down, it didn't work.
First, most popular DJ controller according to DJ Tech Reviews. What do you reckon it is?
I reckon it's the Pioneer, and I reckon it's the DJJ 400.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Second most popular?
Probably the 1000 Pioneer again.
Wrong.
Or it could be the Denon Prime 2.
Wrong.
No, it's
DJ 200s because they're cheap.
Yeah,
200.
Yeah,
really?
Third.
Get another Pioneer. Are we right?
Nope.
We've gone to Denon now.
Newmark or the Denon then?
Newmark Mixed Track Platinum. That's number three.
That's not a bad controller, to be fair. That's the one with the big screens, isn't it, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
If they show you a picture or.
No, there's no picture up there.
That's the one you can even close your laptop and everything's on the screen, isn't it?
Yeah, let me... what was it called? Mixed Track Pro?
Mixed Track Platinum.
Platinum. FX. Go on then, Sam. What's the rest of them?
So at number four, Native Instruments Tractor Control S2 Mark III.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And number five, completing the list, Hercules DJ Control Impulse 500.
Yeah. See, the thing is...
Not one Denon on there.
No,
not one Denon.
You got Pioneer. The thing is, Hercules and was one of the first people that did a lot of controllers. Sure, little stubby things they used to be not very nice to look at. But yeah, obviously, sort of yeah. If I said to any of you a controller, what comes to mind? What picture does it come to your mind?
What picture?
Yeah, on your head.
I picture my SB2. That's what I picture.
Which is a Pioneer.
Yeah.
I suppose the 1000 Pioneer or the Prime 4.
Okay. Mr. Dan Morgan?
Probably a DDJ 400 because it comes up on like Amazon recommended. You search in DJ decks and that's the first thing that comes up.
If somebody said to me, because I've looked at so much DJ equipment without buying, I have bought every piece of equipment going to man. However, I know what I would purchase. I know what I want. I know what I desire. And I know what comes to mind, which is the XZ for me. That's the only piece of equipment that I would entertain as a controller. To either personal use, professional use, or whatever. So that's just me. I would discard everything else accordingly.
Okay, let's just break that down a minute. And why is that? It's a silly reason.
It's not. It's a personal total reason. It's a personal reason.
But why is that?
It's two reasons. One is standalone, which is not the reason that you thought would be number one. And the second one is absolutely always 100% will always be professional jog wheels.
The size of the jog wheels.
Professional jog wheels.
Well, it's
you show me a professional DJ equipment that has minute or small jog wheels.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it's a silly reason.
No, it's not.
From my point of view, I think so.
Why would they? That to me, the size of on the Pioneer units distinguish the difference between a pro unit and a semi-pro unit. Size of the jog wheel. Semi-pro unit, RX3. Yeah, we would agree that's probably semi-pro. Yeah? You go to a bar in it, you could use it from home use, and it's probably very, very well selling for them. But anything above that, you're talking your DJJ 1000s or your XZ. You're talking proper jog wheels. So let's go back to the original question. You posed a question, and I alluded to it before. What made you choose your first purchase? And I know you've gone all in almost, but what made you choose what you're intending to buy?
What I'm intending to buy? Well, let's get it. Oh, you've disabled the screen share, host. I could have showed it to you all. The CDJ 900 Nexus and the DJM 900 Nexus 2 mixer. So what's putting my mind towards them? Okay, it's a lot of money, but I'm fortunate enough that I've got a stable job, so I've been able to save a bit to budget for this. What I like about separate stuff is the flexibility, and it's independent, so I've not got the stress of a CPU processor running on a little laptop and then struggling running a MIDI deck at the same time. I've also got the flexibility of, for my radio side of stuff, if I ever have an issue with my mixer, I can just fall back on all that stuff. That can work for me. I can still produce a radio show as well. So there's a few things putting my mind towards it. And then it's also future-proofing myself instead of getting something like a DDJ. Instead of getting a DDJ 400, and then 6 months down the line, sticking my hand in my pocket and getting something better, I'd rather just get it once, and I'm covered. That'll cover me for a long time, and it's just future proofing it, isn't it? But it's a good set of stuff. I did have my eye on the CDJ 2000 Nexus 2, but they're not made. They've just stopped making them, haven't they?
Yep.
So I didn't think all the features on the 3000. I didn't think I'm going to use them. So I'd rather get like the I suppose like the 900s is like your mid range, isn't it? To the 3000s, but.
That's what you got now. You had the 2000s, which obviously was sit between the Nexus 900 and the 3000s, but the 2000 were taken out. So the only way to get those is a shop that would sell secondhand stuff would only give you a short warranty, and that we talked about the security of the warranty of expensive equipment. And so therefore you've got the 3000s, you've got the 900 and Nexus, or you're talking the Mark 2s of the XDJs that Sam's got. So there's now, it's actually quite a big gap there. Whether they bring something else in to fill,
We spoke about that the other day, T, and we said that they would probably bring in a dumbed down version of the 3000.
Yeah, they could well
make it a 2000. I don't know.
But then 500
or something.
If they're thinking of doing that, what was the point in stopping making the 2000s?
Because there'll be several reasons. One, it'll probably, if they've done this before, is obviously typically they come in and they have an overlap, yeah, between obviously the Nexus 1 and the Nexus 2. And this time they had a little bit of an overlap, but obviously then you've got manufacturing issues in terms of chips, which we covered obviously on the last podcast that went out, is that you've got the chip shortage, manufacturing, COVID, and obviously the fact that if you've got an alternative, and the thing is the pricing was not that much difference between the Nexus 2s, which are still new, and the 3000s. There's only a couple hundred quid. So that's where Destiny was like, if I'm going to buy the 2000s, which were still on sale new, well, whether she get them or not, on websites they said they were still available. In reality, they probably weren't, yeah? But there's only a couple hundred pound difference per player. So she went, I might as well go all in for the 3000s. So it'll put people off one way or the other. They probably weren't selling them. The 3000s is their flagship now. So to sell the 3000s, they just pull the others, don't they? If too close in price.
Like you mentioned to me, probably the biggest difference between the 900 and the 3000 is the screen size, and the 3000 is a touchscreen, aren't they? But to be honest, I don't mind. I'm not that fussed about the screen size. I think what's on the 900 is perfectly adequate. And I think I prefer a dial control anyway, because when you've got a sweaty finger from doing a mix or something, that touchscreen is going to have a fit, isn't it?
Especially when you learn to mix and you're new at mixing, yeah.
In fairness, I DJed on a 3000, and Sam knows this. How hot does my studio get, Sam?
Roasting, mate.
It gets really hot. I've got no air conditioning. I'm too tight to buy it. And I mixed in here with Destiny. I had the door closed, and it was hot in here. I had sweaty fingers, but the 3000 touchscreen still worked perfectly. Didn't have an issue. And I'm not Pioneer's biggest fan. Everyone knows that. I like Denon. But
it comes down to
a lot of money. but for what it is, if Pioneer do sound well, I will say that they've done it well. And the touchscreen is superb. The touchscreen on the 3000s is better than the Denon 6000 touchscreen.
He was a Pioneer go back in the day, because the classics are just Mark 3000s.
I would still buy the Mark ones,
Mark threes,
Mark ones, Mark threes, the
thousands, Mark ones, Mark threes.
Three.
And you did have a 600 mixer back in the day, so
I did. Yeah, but I got that when that first came out. That cost me nearly 700 quid. Compared, and so and if you go back then, that's the equivalent to paying £2,000 now.
How basic does that feel now when you look back at it?
Yeah, it's there was no quantize on the effects. You had to really learn to use the mixer rather than just pressing buttons and the software does it for you.
If I buy it as the package instead of the items individually, I will get sent two RCA cables for free. So it's probably the cheapest, crappiest cable possible.
Oh yeah, it will be. Anyway, why are they sending? You should get RCA cables free with the decks anyway.
I think you should, for the money you're spending. Come on.
Yeah, and they should be, pretty decent ones.
Yeah, but that's the way of the world now, isn't it? You buy something, but you're not given the tools to use it. Buy them separately as well.
I mean, everything's the same, isn't it? Packaging goes smaller, the price stays the same. The package stays the same, and the price goes up. You look at your iPhones, used to get, chargers and buds with them, and now you don't get buds with them at all. You just get the phone. Yeah, you have to go and get your own charger and your own buds. It's like you're buying the phone. Anything else is an add-on. The way the world, again, that's not all good, not all bad in 2022, but that's where we live.
I think just going back to what Dan said about, obviously, you thought about controller, you've gone separates, which I think is the right thing to do. I think no matter what you would have done in terms of the separates, whether you'd have gone 2000 Nexus 2s, touchscreen, all that kind of business, because that's your first proper setup in terms of DJing, you'd have become well accomplished with that anyway. I mean, I started out on a tiny little SB2 controller, and obviously, like T mentioned, I got to a point I outgrew that and I wanted to upgrade. But then where I was so focused on learning the SB2 to a point where I could upgrade, I then wasn't saving the money either to upgrade my setup. And I got to a point where I was actually frustrated on the SB2. Like T and Envy know the conversations that we had where I was like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. And it was just such a relief when I finally got rid of it. So when they told me that you'd actually gone separate straight away, I was like, oh, thank the Lord for this guy. Like,
he's done his homework. I suppose you've got the bonus of as well that when you go into a club setting, if they're providing the gear, it tends to be separates anyway. So at least you're getting yourself used to a club environment. Yeah. But I suppose what we were going to talk about earlier is like challenges of getting into the industry. I suppose that's where with 2022 and the pandemic, everyone's gone online, haven't they? So like with Dance Party, all your mixes are done online. So it's not as much of a challenge because you can still get your name out via just doing an online stream, can't you? As long as you've got a little quiet space in your house somewhere.
I think the only thing I would say to that is there is a lot more people that have now gone online, like you say. Certainly throughout lockdown, they've picked it up as a hobby. And this is something that we discussed on a podcast that's going to come out in the next few weeks, is you've now got so much more people applying for one gig through, you know, agencies and stuff like that. So getting your name out there in terms of a club setting, a real life setting, is a lot harder with the amount of people we've got online. And unless you can find that avenue online and then transfer it yourself, or you know someone in the real world doing it, then I wouldn't even know where to begin now, to be honest, if I'd have started just now.
Well, obviously with Dan learning on separates, and obviously hopefully gets good tuition. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
T and MV's Pales in Booze learn to mix classes. Yeah.
Yeah. plus obviously sort of, you know, the reality is obviously you're very studious. Obviously, so there's, you know, you're learning from videos and then learning from obviously sort of obviously guided instruction, and then learning just by being in presence of other DJs and learning what they do. You know what I mean? I mean, it never ends in terms of the skill set which you can learn. And we'll ever be able to pass on is the basics, and then how you DJs down, how do you express yourself. I mean, that's it. Go on, Sam.
I was just going to say, I think that's the same for anyone. You know, you learn the basics, and then from there, once you've got them down to T, you kind of develop your own style naturally. You know, I mean, we've had, you know, conversations about certain DJs doing certain things on live stream, you know, with us on Dance Party. You know, you pick up little things, and some of it you don't even know you're doing it. So once you've got the basics, you know, you will then naturally just kind of grow out from there and start expressing yourself in kind of more extravagant ways, I guess, you know, because you won't be thinking, oh, this is what I've got to do now and all that.
All right, so question came to you. Somebody says, okay, I got a reasonable budget. Okay, we don't know what that reasonable budget is. What was the one piece of equipment you say either to aspire to, save up for, or the only position to buy? So obviously it's not going to be cheap, not going to be dear, because somewhere in the middle, I guess. What piece of equipment would you suggest, Mr. Sam, say, for somebody who's going out there to buy some kit?
Not knowing the budget, as you say, I would say minimum, if you're going controller, XDJ, XED, or separates, Pioneer. Ideally, XDJ or above.
Okay, all right. So that's still kind of hedging your bets, but okay, right. Mr. Envy, what would you say very, very specifically? Can you be more specific than Sam?
I can be. So depending on what you want to do, depending on your age, if you're a younger DJ, I would go down the Prime 2 route which is a controller, because then they focus their technology towards the younger generation, hence why they use all the smartphone technology for the screens.
Look at granddad trying to be down with the kids anyway.
Yeah. If you're going to, for separates, I would probably go the SE6000s or the XDJ1000s Mark IIs.
See, right. If what I'm going to say to you next, what would your response to this be? So if you went for a controller, say you're someone in my position, even though I'm going to go, my plan's to get separates. If I was to get a controller, would you get ones that don't have a screen on or get one with a screen on? Because if you've got a screen on, you can focus on getting a better controller instead of having to get a computer as well and then getting a lower spec computer that might struggle running record box of the controller. At least it's an inbuilt system. So you could then use your computer to run a streaming platform.
I've got the answer to that, which would be the answer to the question I posed to everyone else, which would be aspire to try and get a separate, they're not controlled, obviously the class is a separate unit, and I would go to the RX3. That's what I would advise somebody.
That's a good bit of kit.
It's quite expensive, isn't it? I know it's about £1,700. Obviously, I don't know what it would be secondhand in the market now because it's still fairly new. Probably even more because we know supply and demand, secondhand kit is going higher than buying new stuff. But I would go for the RX3 because...
£1,700, mate, yeah.
Yeah.
DJ Superstore, 1,699 quid.
If you're going to go for a controller and if you weren't going to go for an XZ, which obviously is, you know, equivalent to the Nexus full setup, then you're getting enough pro level, you're getting enough consumer at home level as well, and it's not absolutely stupid money. So the RX3, it's a separate unit, so you're not relying on laptops, stuff like that. You can take it out, you can gig with it, you can do stuff at home with it, and you'll learn a lot of skills in it, and you'll be fairly future proof in most cases. So I think that middle ground is aspire to try and get an RX3. Learn on computers first of all, save up, get your RX3.
See, I think the goal for me, the way around I want to do it, I want to get my 900 Nexus pair and with the 900 Nexus 2 mixer. That's probably going to live in my studio at home. Then later down the line, I would look at getting something like an XDJ RX3 for mobile use because it can be an independent unit. You can just plug into a PA system or sound system somewhere, can't you?
Well, the thing is, it depends. Literally, it depends where you go. I mean, we know some DJ booths are so tiny, you couldn't get a set of separates in there with your mixer. An RX3 would, something like that would fit in brilliantly. Anyway, let's wrap this up. So thank you for watching the Dan's Party 247 podcast. We've had Mr. Dan Morgan this evening with us, who's been our special guest, Mr. Sam Saint, Mr. Coughing Up, hope your lungs are better in the morning, Mr. Envy. I've been Mr. DJT. Thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. You can watch us on Spotify now, as well as listen to us on Spotify. And we'll see you next week. Ta-da.